open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to you.
Hello there! Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, live in Berea, where the Browns return to action. Today, day six of their training camp at around 3 o'clock out here. So if you're coming out, look forward to seeing you out there. But it's going to be exciting. Football is back. That day off did seem long, but I know the players all seem to that I've talked to down in the cafe, they're all kind of like, loved yesterday, but excited to be back for today.
Yeah, and you know what it really does? It's that small break, which is a day, because and they do have to report back to the hotel in the evening. It's a breath of fresh air. You know, it allows them to step out of their job and realize there is a world still going on outside of Berea and the game of football. And that's just enough to re-motivate you and reinvigorate you to dive back in for another week until your next break.
So, like, what's a day like that? You know, you've had 5 days of camp in a row. You get that day off. What are you doing?
Well, if you're a veteran and you have a house here, I would think that you're able to sleep at potentially sleep at home.
Sounded like it.
Okay. So that you would sleep in your own bed as long as you want. You'd wake up, you know, I doubt maybe some of those workout fanatics are going to go to the gym and do something. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the guys, and I know they were, we saw some of the guys here, and that's to take advantage of the new additions, the hot tub, the cold tub. Maybe sure. They want to swim, get a quick lift in or a good stretch with some of the strength coaches who were here, maybe come in and have a great lunch and then go home. They'll probably dial up, you know, their Microsoft Surface and dig into maybe the day before's practice, or they have the install for the next day to kind of catch up on it. You'll put an hour, maybe an hour and a half into football, and then you put the football down. And because it was so hot out, you know, you probably are inside, but just being in your cool house or hotel room watching mindless television, maybe watching, you know, the NFL channel.
NFL Network.
NFL.com. But just, you know, dive into stuff besides what's related to you and the Cleveland Browns. After you pick it up, you put it down, and just live for a couple hours.
Yeah, and it sounded like I'll talk to EJ Bibbs. You'll hear that interview today. Also, the big story, I would say, kind of around here, just really around the NFL, is following the injury to backup quarterback Kellen Moore of the Dallas Cowboys. The report is once they lost out on Matt Castle, once they lost out on Nick Foles, who went to Kansas City yesterday, that they were in the market for Josh McCown, a Texas native himself. Josh McCown spoke with the media. We're going to have that for you as soon as we possibly get it. So we're going to have that for you today. But so there are a couple ways to look at this, right? First of all, we all know, number one, or at least I, if you've been listening to me, I feel like you know, I love Josh McCown. I think Josh McCown is a tremendous guy. I think Josh McCown is a very good quarterback. I think Josh McCown is great for this locker room. He's great for this young football team. I am a Josh McCown fan. Ideally, I think you want Josh McCown here because Josh McCown is clearly the second best quarterback on this roster.
Correct.
By a very wide margin. And, you know, we still, at the end of the day, while it is a year where we're rebounding, we want to win. Hugh Jackson has said it. We are here to win. We want to win. It is time to win. Expect to win. And Josh McCown certainly gives you a little bit more credibility at the quarterback position there. However, Josh McCown knows that at his age, his realistic time frame with the Browns is a year, maybe one, two at the most. And he's not a guy you're counting on. You want to see RG3. You probably want to see your young guy. So if you could get, say, a fourth round pick from the Dallas Cowboys for a guy that in some ways you're renting as insurance for this year, when really what you're doing is building for the future, does it make sense? I think it's an interesting dilemma and discussion that Sashi Brown and Andrew Berry and Hugh Jackson and Jimmy Haslam will have. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to depend on what the value proposition is from the Cowboys. I mean, if you're Josh McCown, and the one quote that I just want to read because it just sums up one of the reasons why I like Josh McCown so much. Not only that, and just because I do feel that he is so good for our football team. But this is, I mean, he says, if you grow up in Texas, the Cowboys are near and dear to your heart. But if you've spent 5 minutes here in Cleveland, it is easy to be all in. This is a guy, that you want to see do well. Personally, if the Dallas ends up being the best situation for Josh and for the Browns, that would make me happy. But he's a guy that I want to be here. I think he's a guy that it's important that he is here. But at the same time, I can see the case for why if you get a nice offer that helps you build your football team for when you believe you are ready to make that Super Bowl push, why it makes sense to move
right.
a 37-year-old Josh.
And I think whereas I agree with everything that you just said, but what scares me is RG3 not playing football basically for a year, being an active majority of the season last year, and being injury prone early in his career.
You're stuck with Austin.
That you're stuck with Austin.
Cody.
Austin Davis and Cody Kessler. That if we are, in fact, you have 52 individuals along with your head coach and his staff committed to win and win now, how committed are you that if something were to happen to RG3, if we're in question to win, say, 6 games this year, right, with RG3 and everybody healthy? You take away RG3, you take away Josh McCown, and we've got, and again, it's no knock against them, but the odds are against us with Austin Davis and Cody Kessler.
No question.
It limits who we are and what we can do, even with Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman healthy. And those two quarterbacks, it's not going to be great, okay? I can't stay committed to the fact that we want to win if we have to go to one of those guys in an emergency.
Yeah, and because what you're doing is you want to win and you got to build that foundation. So you got to have that foundation still there. Even if our RG3 were to get hurt, if RG3 is going to struggle, that, you know, you need to have that other option. And look, I like Austin Davis, young quarterback, but at the end of the day, a team that was desperate for a quarterback let him go after starting 8 games. And we saw what happened when he started against Cincinnati last year. It wasn't necessarily pretty. And Cody Kessler is a guy that needs time. He needs time to physically and mentally grow, I believe, into the National Football League. Now, are there guys out there on the street maybe you could sign to come in and play a game here or there? Possibly. But at the end of the day, Josh McCown is, I think, one of the better number two quarterbacks in the National Football League and a guy that makes you feel pretty good about your situation should he have to take over. I mean, let's not forget that last year he came in and set the records for most passing yards in a single game in Browns history, most consecutive games with 300 yards passing in Browns history in a regular season. So this is a guy that I believe is a not only a great guy, but a good football player, and that's why I want him here. There are a lot of great guys that I'd want to be here, but, you know, if you can't play football at some point, you know, as I was saying, I remember going through my rush process as a young man in the Sigma Chi fraternity, the Beta Chi chapter at Emory University. We had some guy who was probably not the greatest guy in the world, to be perfectly honest about it, who goes, there are a lot of nice guys out there. They can't all be Sigma Chi's. Well, that's true in the Cleveland Browns as well.
Right.
But Josh McCown would be a Cleveland Brown because he can play the game.
And here's another point, okay? We have said all along, without drafting a quarterback in the first or second round, that RG3 was Sashi Brown and Hugh Jackson's swing at the plate in 2016, right? Via free agency. What if RG3 through 7 games isn't playing the way Hugh Jackson thinks he needs to play, and yet who do we have behind him is a guy that we know and everything that you just talked about, what he did last year, you know, to set some of those records and the stabilization he can be at the quarterback position in his backup role. That either A, RG3 gets hurt, we've got a guy that can step up and put us in, maybe not win us football games, because I know that's a
but
knock against Josh.
Keep the momentum going.
Correct.
Keep the momentum
Correct.
Going.
Correct. You're not going to drop off or whittle down your offense because these quarterbacks just can't do what the other two can do.
Correct.
Or if RG3 is not grasping things and is struggling through, again, 6, 7, 8 games, when do you wave the white flag and change things up? And I hate to say that, and I don't believe it to happen, but I'd feel very comfortable with Josh McCown coming in for 2 games, 3 games, or finishing the season as opposed to Austin Davis or Cody Kessler.
Yes, and that's what it boils down to. But, you know, if you get a value proposition that you get something for the future, it's going to be a difficult situation because of ultimately what you're trying to accomplish with this organization, and that is building a consistent winner. And we know the Browns are well positioned in the draft again, but you can never be too well positioned in that draft. And, you know, ideally, it's possible that you'd go through this season and not need Josh McCown. Now, Josh McCown, to me, offers things that don't necessarily show up on the field. For example, Josh McCown, I believe, can still be a very good asset to this team and this organization even if Robert Griffin III starts 16 games.
Right. And don't you feel that if Josh McCown, maybe he does not play a role, maybe he doesn't play but a speckling of reps throughout the season, you know, when we get into a blowout or it's cleanup town or you know, cleanup time, or maybe RG3 misses a snap here or there for some odd reason, but Josh McCown's stock, I don't believe, as he gets a year older, does not go down a year from now. Teams are going to want to have him in a competition for their starting quarterback position, or they want to add some depth at some point. So that value that we have, while Cody Kessler and Austin Davis get another year under their belt and a year with Hugh Jackson, you can then make that value proposition, you know, trade at some point. Then maybe you lose a little value from the draft pick because of the urgency that the Dallas Cowboys have to make a trade now.
Right.
But the value in Josh McCown, I don't believe, necessarily goes down, because he's not like he went out and lost a bunch of games and was like very rusty in his play. He still becomes the vet, the model, you know, the teacher, and a stable backup quarterback in the NFL.
And let me ask you about intangibles. How much does that actually matter when you have a guy like RG3 who when I talk about RG3, first of all, when I say this, I believe he's a very intelligent human being. So when I say this, I'm not questioning RG3's intelligence in any way. But RG3's physical gifts are limitless. What he needs to get, what RG3 needs to do consistently to become an elite franchise quarterback for the Browns is process in under 2.5 seconds from the pocket and make the right decisions consistently with the football. How much can a guy like Josh McCown help RG3 by being almost another coach to him, can help a Cody Kessler, can help an Austin Davis? Are there guys that, you know, may not be starters? Was there ever a guy in your room, for example, that wasn't a starter that could still help you perform at a higher level because of what his knowledge base was and the way that he conducted himself as a pro?
Absolutely. And I think in some cases, the constant coaching that you get from a certain guy, meaning Hugh Jackson, Pep Hamilton, whoever it might be, that eventually may, in some cases, fall on deaf ears. But you're always going to have an open mind from a player's perspective, because Josh McCown is not threatening you or trying to sabotage you, but wants you to grow into that role and only wants the Cleveland Browns to win. So you open your ears and you open your mind to hear what he has to say and go, I never saw it that way. You know, right. Whereas a coach wants it done his way, a player's going to give it to you based on his, you know, his past performance, his past reads, and so on and so forth. So if he can help bridge any type of gap, you're going to have an open mind to that. Whereas sometimes a coach is just very rigid and sometimes rough, wanting it done their way. So yes, you will be definitely open. A guy like Josh, RG3 will have an open mind to Josh McCown, I think, over time, than hearing it time and time again from Pepper Hugh.
Let me ask you a question. How much time does, let's say, RG3 get with Hugh, with Pep, with Josh?
Josh is with RG3 all the time.
Okay.
I would say Josh and RG3 are probably with Pep most of the time.
Okay.
And then they probably spend the least time. As you see Hugh make it, he probably goes from room to room to room and either stands in the doorway on some of the defensive meeting rooms, you know, just to pop in and see what they're talking about and see the coaching and the observing that's going on of the players. And then he probably sits down in some of the offensive meetings to, you know, and stays a little bit longer as he is an offensive head coach. But then when you see him on the field, he kind of stays, you know, in that middle proximity and gets near a certain drill and either dives in or just observes it, but then goes from drill to drill to drill. So he's not with those guys consistently. So Pep is.
Yep.
And RG3 and Josh are always together.
It's interesting. I think it's an interesting situation, and I do believe that, you know, it will shake out in the best way for the Browns organization. And I think it's a win-win if you're the Browns. Keeping Josh McCown, I think, is a win for you. And if you obviously get some type of value that you can't pass up, that's a win for you as well. All right, when we come back, let's open up the phone lines. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. Coming up here on today's show on CBD at 1:15, we will have a Josh McCown update with sound bites from ESPN's Ed Warder on the Really Big Show this morning. We will hear from the podium EJ Bibbs. We've got also Pep Hamilton. We also have Josh McCown we're going to hear from, along with Ray Horton. Lots of guys, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, McCown, Bibtacular. It's CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan's Gurr, Matt Wilhelm, live in Berea. Day 6 of training camp upon us on this Thursday. But all of a sudden, news about the Browns. The Cowboys supposedly interested in quarterback Josh McCown. ESPN's Ed Warder was on the Really Big Show this morning, and he was asked, what's the interest of Dallas in McCown?
You know, the Cowboys' first priority or first option that they pursued was Nick Foles, who wound up signing with the Kansas City Chiefs and reuniting with a coach who drafted him in Andy Reid. And so the Cowboys' next option is to acquire a veteran in a trade. I have been told all along that if they went that direction, then Josh McCown would be their first choice.
And what would Dallas be willing to give up, Ed?
You know, I'm sure they would start with a guard in Ron Leary, who's a former starter, signed only for one more year, who isn't going to start for them but has performed at that level previously. I don't know. I think my sense of the Browns would be more interested in acquiring draft picks than veteran players.
And finally, what kind of offense do you expect Hugh Jackson to run with the Cleveland Browns?
And you talk to people around the league, they're really curious about what is Hugh Jackson going to do with this offense, given the number of Baylor players on that team. I mean, how much is he going to use the Baylor spread? I know Art Briles was in camp the other day there. So with the accumulation of receivers and the fact that so many of them have come from the Baylor program, there's a lot of intrigue about just what concepts Hugh's going to use. He was known in Cincinnati as a guy who liked to go fast. So if he's going to do that kind of thing, then I think RG3 can be successful.
That was Ed Warder. Now we'll hear from Josh McCown himself on what he had to say about the trade rumors. All right, we're efforting that. We'll get that for you in a second. But Josh McCown is a guy who is going to tell you what he has to say right now.
Cowboys, yeah. They have some interest. Are you aware of that?
I'm aware of that because my family's from Texas, as you guys know. And so they obviously, as much as you try not to be aware of things, they make you aware of things. So I'm aware of it. But our focus is here and what we have to do with this football team.
Josh, you often say, and players say, I don't have any control over things. I worry about things I can control. Can't you take control of your future by being forceful in what you want to do?
I mean, I guess you could to a certain degree. Everybody can take control of their future if they want to act a certain type of way. But for me, that's not. How I choose to operate. And, I feel like for me, I'm on this team for a reason, and this is where I'm at. And until the things that are out of my control, until that decision is made otherwise, I'll be here, focusing, doing everything I can do so to help this team. I guess to your point, could that happen? Or can a guy go about that? Yes, but that's not the way I choose to operate in these situations.
You don't see that changing?
I don't think. No, I mean, not for me. No. Like I said, there's people that they run the team and make those decisions, and I just believe in organizations and in this business and the roles that everybody has. And my role is to go out and play, as good a football as I can, and to help the guys around me. Do that as well, and so that'll be my focus, and it's tough, when you have some of these things going on, have some of this noise going on, but it's a great opportunity to just exercise mental focus and toughness and to be able to go out and do your job. So I'm looking forward to practice today, because it's a good kind of test of yourself of how much you can block out the noise, because that's what this job's about.
Has anyone from upstairs talked to you? Has anyone upstairs, within the organization talked to you and said, hey, Josh, I know there's noise out there, but here's what's really going on. Have you had those type of conversations?
And we'll just leave it at that. Yeah, we're on the same page.
Is it in some ways, nice to have basically probably your hometown team, the Cowboys, interested in you, knowing that, even at the tender young age of 37, that you're still wanted by a good team like that?
Well, I mean, I think growing up in Texas, I've wore number 12 most of my career because of Roger Staubach. My brother started doing that, and so obviously, you know, the Cowboys is, if you grew up in Texas, it's, you know, near and dear to everybody's heart. But once you cross over into the business portion of this life, those allegiances kind of fly out the window, and you have a job to do. And so for me, my job and my heart is here, and doing everything I can to help the Cleveland Browns be good. And so that's what I'm about. And like I've told you guys before, you spend 5 minutes in this city, and it's easy to be all in because of how the people feel about this team, and then just being in the organization with the people here, with my teammates that are here, and you know, having spent a year with, you know, with Joe Thomas and Hawk and Greg and these guys, you know, it's great relationships. So all of that is nice, and it's neat to especially, you know, being from Texas. But at the same time, this is where my focus is.
That was Josh McCown saying his focus is here on being the Brown, and this is a guy that, you know, quite frankly, gets this whole program. From Texas, it's his hometown team. He's like, but when you're in Cleveland and you feel it, he wants to be all in. And I can tell you from talking to this guy, not in front of reporters, not on the radio, that he wishes he was younger because he truly believes the foundation's being laid for success here, and that he wishes he were younger to be a part of that.
Yeah,
and he loves it.
Yes,
here.
And I think he is a general manager's dream. He is a coach's dream. And I think for him being a, you know, a backup quarterback, he's a starting quarterback's dream. And I think because he is humble, he is grounded, he understands his role, he is a professional, and yet if called upon, as I said in the first segment, can go out there and put you in a situation to potentially win a football game. And that's all you can ask for from a backup quarterback, because as you look around this league, there are backup quarterbacks that are inexperienced, that have not played in the NFL yet, that are still not mature, that aren't acting quite like pros, that constantly have to be coached. And I think that's one thing that we, you know, sometimes you take for granted when you have him, and until he's potentially on his way out, which Josh may or may not be, if, you know, with that whole trade rumor thing. But we've got to love the fact that we have Josh McCown, and that Josh McCown loves being here.
Absolutely. And again, it puts everybody in a good situation for the future here with the Cleveland Browns. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you can call us up, 216-578-0850. Still to come, we've got Pep Hamilton from the podium, EJ Bibbs, Ray Horton. So lots to talk about here. We'll take your phone calls and hear from Pep Hamilton next on CBD.
Strictly out of curiosity, what would happen if you got with me? Kissing you would hit the spot with me. Come on, skip a couple rocks with me.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. Browns practice about an hour and a half away. Day 6 of training camp. But right now, let's hear from the offensive coordinator. The offense off to a great start. Let's hear him, Pep Hamilton, at the podium. We will hear from Pep Hamilton later. Fontana, you could have told me that as I teased it into the break.
I was hoping that it might have been in there, but we are a segment early on that.
I know. It just makes more sense for the show's flow to go.
I don't disagree.
1:32, 2:30.
I do not disagree with you on that.
All right.
We'll see if we can get it a little early.
All right. We'll go to a Twitter question quickly. You guys can call us here, 216-578-0850. Behind enemy lines, our guy G.I. George says, could the Browns have the best 53-man roster this time next year from no depth to great depth? Best in the league, George? Let's
best
not go
where?
Crazy. Best where? Best we've had in a while? Sure.
It's going to be tough with Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, and Le'Veon Bell. Ryan Shazier, you know, and some of the young talent that Pittsburgh has, Cam Hayward, for us to have the best 53 in our division.
Yeah, I think that we will continue to improve. I mean, let's be honest, okay? 14 picks this year, you're probably going to end up with another 11-plus next year. Okay, that's 25 guys. If you can get half of them to be contributors, that's 12 guys. That's basically a quarter of your roster is all of a sudden a strong contributor to your football team in 2 years. So you've added that much talent. So, yes, it certainly this roster will be much, much better in 2 years if they continue to draft well. And we've gotten, you know, we don't know yet if they have. It's way too early to tell, but you can see some signs at least that I believe they hit on Corey Coleman right out of the gate, which is very encouraging given the success of first-rounders recently here with the Cleveland Browns. 216-578-0850. Lynn in Cleveland, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. I love your show.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome. I just want to say, ask you a question with the quarterbacks. I would love to just keep McCown. If they blew me away with an offer, then I think I would make that. I want to know what you really, really see so far in this Cody Kessler, and what in the world are they going to do with Austin Davis? Would anybody be willing to take him for, like, a seventh-round pick or sixth? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much for taking the call.
All right, what I've seen from Cody Kessler, a smart quarterback, a guy that is completing a high percentage of his passes, but when you watch it, the ball comes out of his hand with a different velocity than it comes out of the hand of either Josh McCown or Robert Griffin III.
And even Austin Davis.
Yeah, a guy who I think to ultimately be very successful is going to need to improve his arm strength. You can tell, and from talking to some of the coaches about him, they love his work ethic. They love and they believe that as he continues to get more and more mentally masterful of the playbook, that he'll play faster. He makes good decisions. He takes care of the football. I think one thing that you can say it's a positive about him is that he knows his own limitations at this point. He is not trying to force the ball in places where he can't fit the ball in because of arm talent. So Cody Kessler, to me, looks like a guy that ultimately, if he can improve his arm strength a little bit, and he's worked with Tom House on that this summer, a guy that can, in this system, be Andy Dalton-like. You know, Andy Dalton's forte is not throwing the ball down the field, but is a good decision maker. He's accurate in the short and intermediate game. We know that Kessler can be all those things, but he's still a guy that I think needs time to physically as well as mentally adjust to the National Football League. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Then we are in agreement.
We have the Pep Hamilton sound as well now.
But that's basically what I see from Cody. I mean, from you, he's a guy that I would not yet feel comfortable jumping into the starting lineup and leading this football team.
No. I feel like while Austin Davis, you know, came in and, you know, diligently played, you know, at the end of the season last year, it's a different tier of quarterback. I think we all knew, you know, that Austin Davis was a different tier of quarterback. We don't expect him to play like a starter. We don't expect him to play like a franchise quarterback. And I think in some cases, a lot of analysts thought we stretched on Cody Kessler, you know, as the person for a lot of reason, you know, his size, you know, the arm strength, so on and so forth. He's just not that ready, and he's not able to process the information fast enough to not have the velocity on the football to deliver it, you know, on time where it needs to be with an understanding of the defense.
Yes. Yes, and he can get there, though, because you can think your way. I mean, let's be honest. Peyton Manning couldn't throw the ball as well as Mason Wilhelm last year, and he won a Super Bowl. So you can think your way around the field, but you do have to go ahead and step it up a little bit, I think, from Kessler, just from an arm strength standpoint, maybe a mechanic standpoint, something they're working on, and I think he can get there. Certainly is a guy that I think has the opportunity down the line, but I don't think 2016 is going to be the year of Cody Kessler at quarterback. All right, let's go to the podium now, and let's hear from Pep Hamilton, the Browns' offensive coordinator.
With so many young receivers, you know, what have you seen from those guys so far?
There's been a learning curve, but at the same time, they're working hard. They're spending a lot of hours with Coach Saunders, just trying to digest all of what we put on their plate. But even so, with that being said, you've seen flashes of all their potential. You know, in particular with Corey Coleman, he's made a big play or two in every practice we've had thus far.
What are you seeing from RG3, and can you kind of compare where he's at now to maybe where he was before that June minicamp?
He has more of a command of our offense. He's able to manage all the checks and all the things that we ask him to do at the line of scrimmage. You know, there's been just continued work on developing continuity with the receivers and tight ends and all the new guys that he's working with for the first time. But he's been working hard, and there's been a lot of positive things that have happened for us in practice.
Pep, there's a national story that the Cowboys are inquiring about Josh McCown. If it were up to you, would you make that deal?
I don't know anything about what you're talking about.
Have you noticed a change in RG3's mechanics at all since he worked with Tom House? And if so, what kind of things did he come back doing differently?
I think because he had time to just work out over the summer, you know, a lot of the things that we've asked him to do from a fundamental and technical standpoint, we were able to facilitate those things through Coach House out in California. But he's throwing the ball well. Mechanically, you know, he's always been, all right, just as good as anyone else with regards to being able to throw the football all over the field. So we feel good about where he is right now.
How's he doing in terms of just dropping back and processing what he's seeing?
He's been good. He's been good. And we'll find out about his ability to recognize looks from a defense that he's not so familiar with once we play a game next week.
Is it a work in progress to try to figure out if you guys are going to strike some type of balance between him running or throwing from the pocket? Or, you know, do you have an idea of how you want that to look yet?
Well, there will come a time when he will have to run. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we'll call a run and play for our quarterback or for any of our quarterbacks for that matter. But, I mean, I think it's just – it's good that, you know, our quarterbacks, you know, they're all good enough athletes that they can manage bad plays by extending plays and making throws downfield or tucking the ball and running and getting us positive yards on first and second down and even on third down.
What do you – Hugh Jackson is
– Can I get a towel?
Thank you. Hugh Jackson has had some pretty high praise for the two running backs, Duke and Isaiah. What are you seeing from those two guys, and what do you think your designs are?
I think they're competing with each other each day in practice. You know, they've both done a ton of good things. We've actually had some live periods in practice, so you've had a chance to see them run in a, I don't want to say a game-like environment, but you've seen some real-life football, and they've done well. But both guys are players, you know, backs that can play without the ball, and they have the ability to score the ball as well. So they've been positive, you know.
You mentioned Corey Coleman, and he's kind of jumped out to us too. What do you like about? What have you seen that you like?
He can score the ball. I think we saw it a couple days ago in our scrimmage where he caught a hitch route down inside the red zone area. He made two guys miss, and he scored the football. So that's what we're going to need him to do. We need a big play threat. Or two or three on the perimeter, and we feel like he's a guy that can do those things.
But in terms of running routes, even RG3 admitted he ran a little bit of in college.
Well, he's a good enough athlete, and with the coaching that he has, you know, having Al Saunders, I'm sure that in time he'll continue to progress in that area, and he'll do just fine.
Is it fair to say that he's going to be a vertical guy for you in this offense with how you want to use him?
Well, no. Just like I said, he caught a hitch route, which is a five-yard route. He caught it, made two guys miss, and found a way to score the football. So he can do both.
I'm sorry. The other three drafted wideouts, has any of them separated from that pack?
They've done, like, I'll start with Rashad Higgins. You know, he is a, for a young guy, you know, his skill set is above average. You know, he can do a lot of things with regards to beating press coverage and running routes. His routes are fairly detailed for a young guy, and he's still a work in progress, but he's shown tremendous progress over the course of training camp. Ricardo Lewis, big, strong wide out, reminds me a lot of Andre Johnson, someone that I had a chance to work with last year. And when I say that, I say a poor man's Andre Johnson. Let me put it in perspective. But they're working hard. They're working hard, and we'll find out next week when we play a game just where they are.
Peyton came into the league with a tag of possession receiver on him. You know what that means in the NFL. Is that a mold that he's built?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think, he missed some time in the spring because of UCLA's graduation, and he's working hard to get caught up with the rest of the guys, but he's done some positive things also.
Hey Pep, what are the challenges of developing a rookie like Cody when he's not getting a ton of reps out here?
Well, it takes time. I think, you know, for all quarterbacks, it takes time for them to get acclimated to the speed of the NFL game, but more importantly, to develop more of an understanding of NFL defenses. That's what it's all about at the position that, that they play, you know, the quarterback position. And so he's working hard. You know, we put a ton of time into watching film, and he's working each day in practice just like the rest of the guys, working hard.
Is he a guy that ideally wouldn't have to play this year?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
Other than Gary Barnage at tight end, it seems like it's a free-for-all for whatever spots are left. Has anyone emerged out of that group?
Yeah. Randall Telfer, he makes a play every day, and he's playing well without the ball. Connor Hamlet has made some amazing catches. Bibbs, you know, he's been able to play both the tight end position for us and play some fullback. And J.P. Holtz, you know, he stepped in, and once again, you know, with some attrition that we've had on the practice field, he's been a guy that can play multiple spots for us. So, you know, those guys are working hard, and Coach Seaman's doing a great job and getting them ready for the preseason.
You mentioned RG3 working with all these guys for the first time. So for the first week or two weeks, you know, what are the one or two things that you look for the most improvement out of?
Just efficiency managing the offense, you know, being smart with the football, and just doing really what the play prescribes. You know, the preseason is all about, you know, hardening our knuckles as an offense, you know, just because we don't get a lot of time to bang on our own guys in practice. So it'll be an opportunity to go out and play some real live football and establish our identity as a power running team, you know, with the threat of making big plays downfield.
In what areas has Cam Irving improved, and how comfortable are you with him having to be that guy in the center point?
He's improved his command of the offense, of the system. The communication up front has been better, and it's still a work in progress, but he is a big athletic guy that's smart and tough. So we knew once he was able to kind of get fixated at one position and just get locked in and get those reps that there would be a ton of improvement on his behalf, and he's been very good for us so far.
What are you hoping to see out of tomorrow's live scrimmage?
Well, once again, every opportunity that Coach Jackson gives us to be physical and harden our knuckles and play some real live football, you know, guys getting tackled, it gives us an opportunity to feel good about the brand of football that we're going to play. We'll grind it out, you know, hit you in the mouth, try and impose our will, running the football style of offense with the threat of hitting the big plays downfield. So. It'll be fun to compete against our defense and see where we're at.
With three or four Baylor Bears here, with Art Briles being in attendance the other day, it's only natural for some people not here to assume that the Browns are running the Baylor spread offense in the future. Could you clarify the difference of what you guys are doing to what the perception of that offense is?
I don't have an answer to that question. I don't know enough about the Baylor offense to compare it to.
You just mentioned power running game. I mean, that's very important in what you guys are doing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
How much with the competition of right tackle, is that with Bailey? Is that when you want to be settled at a certain point, or can you all the way to the end of the preseason?
That's coach's decision to make. Yeah.
How much are you looking forward to having? Good. How much are you looking forward to getting Josh Gordon involved in the offense, and have you been working with him at all and, you know, getting him used to the offense?
Well, the only exposure that I've had to Josh with Josh Gordon was at the Pro Bowl. I think it was maybe 2014, and he was amazing. You know, he's an amazing talent, and I'm excited for him to have an opportunity to get out on the field so that we can work with him full time, you know. But it'll be fun to see where he's at, you know, once he's back on the practice field.
You and me both, Pep. I can't wait to see Josh Gordon back on the practice field alongside Corey Coleman, Hollywood Higgins, and all the boys out there on this Browns offense that's off to a great start in camp in 2016. We'll take a break. When we come back, wrap up our first hour with your phone calls. Now's the time. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850 here on CBD. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zgur, Matt Wilhelm, and a rib cleaning Mo Pedman here in Berea today on CBD. Talking about holding bags. It's getting crazy in here right now. It's getting just a little bit out of control. But we're going to go to the phone line. That's what happens after a day off. I think you get a little off the rails. You got to come back. You got to focus. Cleveland Elf's on the fly. What's up, Cleveland Elf?
How's it going, guys? How's the golf game been?
What?
What golf game?
Okay. My golf game got solid right at the point where, like, I've hit the ball best my last few times out, and now I don't play anymore.
Oh, man. I wanted to weigh in on McCown. I've been talking to a few fans, and he's a great guy. I actually talked to him calling in about my season tickets. He was in the office one day, and I spoke to him for about 5 minutes. Great guy, but where we're at with the 37-year-old backup quarterback, let's get the pick. If we can get a fifth-rounder and move on, that's my personal opinion. I know a lot of fans really like the guy, and they don't want to move him, but I think where we're at, it's good to take the pick and move on, and just kind of want to hear your thoughts. There's a lot of veterans we can pick up, I think, toward the end of the camp with roster cuts. We can get a solid equivalent talent backup quarterback of his experience down the road.
Yeah, I think his experience is certainly valuable, and that's why I think that the Browns are pretty much in a good situation here. They're either going to have a guy that's a valuable asset to this organization, both on and off the field, or it's going to be a situation where you get a value proposition so compelling that it makes sense to move Josh McCown for something to help continue to build and grow this organization. So I don't think this is a bad thing. It's nice for him to be wanted. I mean, he loves it here. He loves Cleveland. He's told me that many times. But also to have the opportunity, if he's either going to be playing for the Cleveland Browns, which I know he loves to do, or he's going to have an opportunity to go play for the Dallas Cowboys, which, I mean, Roger Staubach's the reason he wears number 12.
Right.
So not a bad scenario for Josh McCown, who's a fine human being.
No, it's good to be wanted. Good to be wanted, and I think that he's meeting a need in both situations. He's meeting our need here in the role that he's playing with RG3 right now as our franchise quarterback, and I think he would play that same role for Tony Romo in Dallas.
He certainly would. Let's go now to our guy, Reg, in Youngstown. Reg.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Reg. How are you?
Good. Pretty good. Hey, listen, fellas, you guys really think that is a good idea, man, Josh, possibly, we may trade him to the Cowboys. And, I mean, having just our two, quarterbacks that we have, our young quarterback and the other quarterback, I don't think he's really particularly proven. Would that be a good idea? And also, far as Gordon, man, I'm all with Coach U. That's my guy. I'm with him, but I just hope that's the right move, man, bringing him back. I know he's talented, but I just don't think, guys, that it's just, I don't think that's a good idea. I wouldn't touch him, man.
So Josh Gordon?
Reg,
this is a country built on stories of redemption, and right now there's zero risk with Josh Gordon. There's no risk.
Why you say that? I mean, why you think that is?
Because if he messes up, he is gone. And if you're not on the hook financially to Josh Gordon for very much.
Yeah.
So you have an opportunity to have a guy that if he can get his life together. Let's not forget, Honey Badger was supposedly a bad guy. If you recall, he was such a bad guy that the Browns felt compelled to draft Leon McFadden before the Honey Badger.
Yeah, that's true. And look
at him now. So in the right situation, at the right time in your life, and the one reason – again, I've heard Josh Gordon talk the talk. The one reason that I am more excited about Josh Gordon now than before is when he said, I used to be basically selfish, young, and dumb, and that I thought I could do everything my way. I knew better than everybody else, and I was going to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And now I realize that that was wrong. I have a great support system, and I'm going to allow them to help me. If those words that he says there are true, then I think he certainly has an opportunity to come through and be a great football player once again.
Okay. Hey,
I'm willing to find out. Because
you guys talk
we weren't counting
bit
on him.
I'm with you. If that's what you think, I'm going to go along with you on that, far as Gordon. But as far as McCown, I want to hear you guys talk a little bit more. And tell me, guys, I get off the line, tell me who we going to get to back up, our starting quarterback, man.
If you get rid of Josh McCown?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's where it gets dicey to me. I mean, one name that is out there that might fit, what RG3 is doing would be Mike Vick. But I don't think you could I don't think you could feel good. There's nobody out there that you'd feel as good about as Josh McCown.
No, there's not.
And Austin Davis, again, I don't think that that is the answer, and nor do I think Cody Kessler is ready. So I think that, you know, you would need to find another quarterback out there. They're just, if they grew on trees, this would be easy. They don't. That's why it's not easy. That's why a guy like Josh McCown, even at 37 years of age, has value to a team like the Dallas Cowboys.
Right, and I even doubt the fact that if we did go, you know, outside of who's currently on our roster, if Josh departs with Austin Davis and Cody Kessler, if we go off even to a veteran quarterback like Vic or somebody else and bring them in, they've got to learn this system. They've got to learn terminology. The expectations that Hugh Jackson has for the quarterback position are extremely high. I think it limits what we do, and we may be better off with Austin Davis or Cody Kessler.
Then
someone coming in midseason or, you know, just that doesn't know,
sure,
and has to play catch up simply because they're a veteran.
A veteran. I heard there's a guy loosening up his arm, getting limber right here in Berea.
Yeah. His name's Cody Kessler.
His name's Austin. I had a tryout, folks, just so you guys, in case you guys are wondering, just to be perfectly honest. When this all went down, Sashi Brown walked by the Dog Bowl in Berea. I uncorked a beautiful 6-yarder to Matt Wilhelm. And Sashi, I said, is this my chance? One word answer, Matt Wilhelm. What'd he say?
He actually didn't give you an answer. He just shook his head
and
rolled his eyes and walked away.
Yes. All right. That'll do it for hour number one. When we come back, we'll hear a guy who does believe in me and a guy who's a fine young player and a guy I'm excited to see what he can do in this Hugh Jackson offense. That is EJ Bibbs, Bibtacular, in studio here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We talk about a lot of things, off days, this offense, what he likes to do. Ken Carmen apparently getting bad information from Mo Pedman. Don't ignore his last tweet, folks, if you're out there. His cousin is clearly jealous of what I did because apparently Ken Carmen, I don't know if you guys know this, throws the football horizontally. It comes in a side spin like you're shooting a basketball. That's apparently, there's some hate right now coming from that direction from the Pedman family. Anyway, we'll be back with more. EJ Bibbs, fine man, and you're going to enjoy this interview right after this.